Hey everyone, Victor from Trustring again. Today's episode is the second part of our multi-series with Omid Tabi from Optimus Legal. Everything you need to know from a legal perspective and building software products. And today we're going to dive into a little bit of an adjacent topic, which is going to be equity distribution. If you want to check out the first episode, which was about intellectual property, which is super important when doing a remote software development, go check that out. We're linking this here. But today is going to be about distributing equity if you bring on co-founders, want to raise funds, anything like that. So Omid is a lawyer and managing partner at Optimus Legal, and he will walk you through this today. With that, Omid.
So first thing that startup founders need to know, and this obviously only applies to U.S. companies. I can't, you know, speak on behalf of companies, you know, anywhere else. I'm a U.S.-based lawyer, and so I'm going to, you know, speak on behalf of U.S. laws. So the first thing that people need to know about distribution of equity is start a C corporation. Don't start anything else other than a C corporation. Don't start an LLC. Don't start an S corporation. Don't start anything other than a C corporation, and ideally in Delaware. You know, despite the fact that everything that we've seen in the news around Delaware with Elon Musk and his $56 billion compensation package, Delaware C corporations for startup companies, for software companies, for technology companies is the gold standard. When you get a $56 billion compensation package, you can think about starting in Texas. But for now, just start it in Delaware. Because most venture capitalists, if you're thinking about raising funds or just in general, in terms of corporate law, Delaware is the most established. Any issues that arise, you're going to get an expedited hearing with, you know, a very established library of case law specifically with respect to corporations. And that's why people choose Delaware for those two reasons and many more. But those are the two primary reasons. So start a C corporation. The reason why you should start a C corporation is C corporations are equipped to issue equity. So LLCs can't issue equity the same way that C corporations can. C corporations can create different levels of equity, different stock classes. LLCs can't create different stock classes the same way that C corporations can. LLCs are actually not equipped to issue equity. They issue typically units. I mean, you can call them stock, but they're not stock in the same way that corporations are. So for that reason, people should start C corporations if they want to issue equity. That's the first thing. If you want to issue equity, start a C corporation in Delaware. The other thing that people should know when thinking about issuing equity is anytime you go to raise investment, what's going to happen is the investor is going to look at your cap table, your capitalization table. And when you start your company, you want to typically, what the standard practice is either 10 million shares or 100 million shares. Doesn't matter which one. It makes no difference in the beginning, but you want to make sure that you have enough authorized and outstanding shares to be able to distribute the equity. The other thing about LLCs that people need to know that just came into my head is with C corporations, you can apportion a certain amount of the equity. This is why it's actually important to create C corporations versus LLCs as well. You can apportion a certain number of the equity to be distributed. LLCs, in most jurisdictions, you cannot do that. All of the equity in an LLC has to be issued. Whereas with a C corporation, you could say, okay, I'm going to get 90% of the equity, and then I'm going to put 10% of the equity aside for my equity incentive plan. And from that equity incentive plan, I will issue equity to employees. Now, why is that important? Why that's important is equity is a great tool for incentive for employees. And so you want to make sure to be able to access that, to be able to utilize that so that you can get some of the best talent and incentivize them to stay with your company for extended periods of time to, you know, drive value for your company, so on and so forth. So LLCs cannot set aside equity. All of the equity has to be issued. Whereas with corporations, to go back to what I was saying, what's going to happen when you raise money is the investor is going to come and they're going to look at your cap table and they're going to want to see that a certain percentage of your authorized shares are set aside for your equity incentive plan. It typically is going to be anywhere between 10 to 20% of the shares need to be set aside for your equity incentive plan. Likely, if you're going to be raising multiple rounds of funding, it will likely be closer to 20% that they're going to want to see set aside, especially if you're at the Series A stage, it's going to be 20%. So if you got 100 million shares, if you created 100 million shares at the time that you created your company, they're going to want to see that 20 million of those 100 million are set aside for the equity incentive plan. Okay. So that's the first thing. The reason that they want to see that is they also want to make sure that they don't get diluted later on after they finance your company. So they want to make sure that the 20% is set aside ahead of time so that you don't set aside the 20% after they've invested in your company and, you know, their ownership percentage drops because now you have to take 20% and everyone gets diluted from that. They want to see that the 20% oftentimes is set aside before they make their investment. So these are kind of the primary foundational aspects of equity. What I often advise people and what a lot of lawyers will often advise people is that you should look to set aside the equity for incentives. You could do it at the time of creation of your company. So when you start your company, you know, you could say, okay, I want, as I mentioned, let's say you're the 100% owner, I'm going to set aside 20% for the equity incentive plan. I'm going to set aside, you know, up to 20% for maybe my seed stage and my Series A financing. And you could set aside those different apportions of equity for different things. And so if you set aside 20 for the equity incentive plan, you set aside 20 for investors up to Series A, then you get 60%. So you get 60 million shares, 20 will go to investors, 20 will go to the equity plan. And you could do that, you know, from day one in your company. That often is what some entrepreneurs will do, and it can be a prudent approach. Okay, so this is the foundation of equity issuance. The other thing that investors will often look for is that the founders and anyone else, not just the founders, but anyone else who has to work on behalf of the startup is going to be subject to a vesting schedule. So a vesting schedule just means that for the equity that has been issued to the person, that they don't actually own that equity, or the equity has to vest so that they could own that stock. And it vests over time. The reason for this is if I just handed you 50% of the company, for example, in stock ownership, well, you could leave tomorrow and you own that 50% of stock and you've worked 0 hours for the company and now you own 50% of the company. And that's an issue, right? Because you didn't earn that equity, you didn't earn that ownership. And so vesting just ensures that your performance is at a certain standard, because if you're going to continue to be employed by the company, clearly you're performing at a certain level that is acceptable to the company. That's why we're continuing to let you work for the company. And it also ensures that the amount of time that you spend reflects the value that you're creating for the company. And so typically the vesting schedule, as it's called, is 4 years. So if I issue you 1 million shares, for example, you will own those 1 million shares at the anniversary of your fourth year. So it will take you 4 years to earn all of the shares that have been issued to you. And then there's typically also something called a one-year cliff. So the one-year cliff just means that it will take 1 year for your stocks to start to vest. your stocks won't start vesting until the anniversary of your first year. Typically, sometimes you'll see like 25% of the stocks will vest on the anniversary of the first year. And then the remainder of those 75% of your shares will vest month over month. And every month you take however many years are remaining, 3, 36, and you divide however many, you know, shares are left, 750,000, and that's how many shares vest every month. And so if you were to get fired, for example, or if you were to leave 2 years into your employment at the company, you would only own the amount of shares that have vested for that 2 year period of time. And the remainder of the shares that have been issued can be purchased back by the company. And so you only get to own the shares that you earned, and you have to put your time in, you have to create value for the company. The company has to be happy with the value that you create so that they keep employing you, so that your shares can keep vesting. And that's a really important thing to know. So investors will look oftentimes that founders are subject to vesting schedule, and they will also look to see that any employees are going to be subject to the vesting schedule as well. And there's, you know, various different aspects of vesting that founders, because they have more leverage in terms of being owners of the company, they can negotiate in terms of acceleration and that sort of thing, that, you know, maybe employees, especially depending on the role of the employee, may not be able to access that same benefit, for example. But acceleration, for the most part, especially for change of control events, if the company sells, for example, you know, aren't atypical. So you'll often see some sort of acceleration clause for a change of control event like selling your company. Those are some of the things that people need to know about vesting, that there will often be a one-year cliff with a four-year vesting schedule. Another thing that people need to know about equity, especially in the United States, is the 83B election. So the 83B election is an election that's made to the Internal Revenue Service, which is the taxation agency in the United States. It's a relatively simple filing, a letter that has to be sent to the IRS. It can only be done by paper, has to be filed within 30 days of receipt of the grant. And essentially, it shifts the taxation burden so that capital gains tax is minimized, specifically ordinary income. So it reduces the amount of tax that someone has to pay on the shares that are issued. Specifically, I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what the numbers are, but it's a very important filing to file within 30 days of the grant of the equity, because if you don't, you can significantly have to pay much more tax. So that's an important thing that people need to know as well. You have to file.
There we have it. Thank you so much, Omid. And yeah, out there, you are now in a much better position when it comes to distributing your equity and everything you know about setting up your SaaS business. Really, Victor Perolnik, founder of TrustSharing. We help SaaS companies build and run productive development teams by doing two things. Number one, we provide the missing tech and product advisory, you know, that you might need to bring clarity, process structure, productivity into your software development process. We do that in the form of fractional CTOs and CPOs. We bring to you on an hourly basis. Number two, we provide pre-vetted developers, right? So we're a recruiting firm. We headhunt people straight for you, the best talent out there, vetted by our CTOs. And we also have a network of tried and trusted software houses. If you need more of a turnkey approach, and if you have no idea who you should be working with, whether it's a freelancer, software house, any of that, where they should be, just book a call with us. The link is in the description. We'll walk you through all of that. We have our mental models, frameworks, and we then have the best people in each category. So just feel free to book a call with us whenever you like. If you'd like to stay up to date with anything here, hit like, hit subscribe. We bring those videos on a weekly basis and help you build and run productive development teams. Our next video with Omid, this three-part series. The previous one was about intellectual property, so go check that out if you're interested. Our next one is going to be about legal implications when working with remote people directly or with software houses. So all of those contracts, putting IP on the side, that was a special thing. But everything else that matters really when outsourcing your software development or working with people directly, that is going to be episode 3. So definitely make sure to subscribe if you want to see that. You can also subscribe to our newsletter if you like. And then you get also more longer talks that we can't put out publicly on YouTube. Thank you so much. Looking forward.